So by now, you've probably heard about the testy exchange between Howard Zemsky, the state's economic development czar, and some members of the assembly at a recent hearing. Well, the back and forth was over a familiar theme, the amount of taxpayer dollars going to corporations under the auspices of economic development versus the benefits that taxpayers are receiving from this kind of deal. Zemsky defended the programs while members of the assembly questioned their value. Joining me with his analysis is Jim Heaney, founder, editor, and executive director at Investigative Post. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today, Susan?
I'm fine. I want to ask you sort of a 20,000-foot question and then get more granular. When it comes to the four Buffalo Billion projects, are taxpayers getting a fair deal or not?
No, they're not. We're still early in the process. Tesla's solar panel manufacturing facility has really not geared up, but there are all sorts of troubling signs for that. AMRI has created some jobs, but at considerable public investment. 43 North, which we talked about, I think, last time I was on, is being basically used by out-of-town entrepreneurs to get state grants, stay in Buffalo a year, and flee. And now we've got the IBM, which Charlotte Keith reported on for us last week, in the problems with that project. So far, now in the long run, maybe it'll pan out, but I think the early returns are not at all promising.
All right, so let's talk about IBM. While state officials had repeatedly said that the jobs that IBM would be bringing, 500 jobs by 2021, would be high paying, the agreement between the state and IBM doesn't actually specify the kind of jobs that the company needs to create.
And the problems start there. You know, the governor, in making the announcement, talked about high-tech, high-paying jobs, that this would help to really launch a high-tech hub in the heart of downtown. But the contract that the governor's people signed with IBM only requires IBM to be responsible for creating 500 jobs. There's no specificity in terms of what kind of jobs these pay. So in a sense, the public was sold a bill of false goods. They could, under their contract, they could hire 500 minimum wage workers, and they would be meeting the terms of the contract. So it starts there. The problem starts there. The second problem, and tell me if you've heard this before, a lack of transparency.
This seems to be another theme that you've been reporting on. Yep.
Yeah. You know, when Charlotte called the state for information, she got just a little bit, no interviews. And the state said they couldn't even tell her what kind of jobs are there. IBM refused, both headquarters and Buffalo refused to return a single phone call, respond to a single email. To me, that is outrageous conduct by a corporation that basically has accepted $55 million in public assistance and is, in effect, telling the public, what we are doing with your money is none of your business. Buzz off. And then when Charlotte, you know, peeled off the layers of the onion, and what do we find? Well, we find that it appears that most of the jobs, and they've created, I don't know, 150, 160 so far, it appears that most of them are call center jobs paying, you know, 14, 15, 16 bucks an hour. A lot of these folks are not even IBM employees. They're temps. You know, limited benefits, treatment that includes, if you take too many bathroom breaks, we dock your pay.
All right, so these aren't the high-paying jobs that are on some sort of like a corporate track up the IBM ladder. So, but do those jobs that are subcontractor jobs, do those count towards the number of jobs that IBM has to create?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and there's a question as to whether, you know, from a New York State perspective, whether these jobs are actually a net gain for the state, because some of these jobs involved outsourcing of work that had been done by state employees to these folks working for IBM. So it may be that You know, so what IBM is doing, they not only got $55 million upgrades in the building and equipment that they're in, but they then got a $57 million contract from the state to provide these call services. So we're really kind of paying for it twice.
Yeah, I actually didn't understand that. So Charlotte wrote, Charlotte Keith, the reporter, said that we are paying for this twice. But can you map that out for us?
Well, on one hand, IBM is in offices that were renovated and equipped with $55 million in state taxpayer funds.
Right, okay.
They then man it with employees who are being paid out of a separate state contract.
I see.
To provide call service assistance to state employees. So, you know, the jobs that are created, it wasn't enough that we gave them a subsidy to create the jobs. The jobs are now being paid for, and presumably IBM is making a profit off not a contract with a private sector company, but a contract with the state government.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be quite fair. I mean, this is supposed to be creating new jobs, not ones that are subsidized by taxpayers twice.
Yeah, and you know, this is, unfortunately, Susan, this is typical. This is kind of smoke and mirrors economic development, whereby, and it's consistent. You've got a governor who goes out and makes these great proclamations about how he is helping to transform the Buffalo economy with all these projects, high tech, high paying. You know, look at the Tesla solar plant. It was going to be 1,460 factory jobs. We're now down to 500 factory jobs, and the rest of the jobs will be made up someplace else, you know, doing who knows what. There is just a recurring pattern where there's a big press announcement, and the reality, when it sets in, is not nearly as promising as advertised.
All right. Well, here's a quote from Howard Zemsky from the hearing. It's fair to make some criticisms, but also to point out that these programs have had a profound impact. What do you think about that?
These programs have probably, in this economy of more than 500,000 jobs, and I'm going to do the math on the fly here, these four investments that amount to probably $900 million have probably created a couple hundred jobs so far. A couple hundred jobs, $900 million. You can argue, I think, with some reasonableness that the Buffalo Billion has had a positive psychological effect, in part because the governor's come in and said, I'll invest $1 billion, and people feel good about that. And it's had a positive psychological effect because a lot of people have kind of bought the governor's line. You know, they believe him when they say 500 high-tech jobs at IBM, and people feel good about that. Mm-hmm.
But digging down a little bit, it's not quite the reality that your reporters are finding.
It's not. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned, you know, the corruption involving, you know, the development contract with the Tesla plant. I mean, we've got disappointing job results. We've got criminal indictments for corruption. We have, you know, a couple 300 jobs to show for it so far. I mean, that's the reality of the Buffalo Billion so far. So, you know, Howard can get out there and say, you know, everything's wonderful. Well, things aren't wonderful. And I think the other thing, if you want to step back even further, how is the Buffalo economy doing? If it's had this tremendous effect, well, how's the economy doing? You know, we did a series with ProPublica and the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism back in the spring that looked at job growth across upstate New York. And I actually dug the story up this morning. I mean, job growth in Buffalo is less than half the national average, which is to say maybe it's better than it was 5-10 years ago.
Well, is it better than it was 5-10 years ago?
Yeah, it's better. But but Buffalo, Western New York, like all of upstate, continues to lag way behind the country. You might recall the number I trotted out when we talked about this back in March and April. If upstate New York was a standalone state, its job growth, compared with the other 50 states, would be fourth worst in the nation right. since Andrew Cuomo took office. It would be worse than the state of Mississippi. That and yet that is what Howard Zemsky and Andrew Cuomo define as a roaring success. The facts and the numbers do not back up this continuing claim that Cuomo is responsible for some dramatic upsurge of the upstate economy, including Buffalo. Buffalo's doing better. There are people here who have been in the game a long time who said, to the degree Buffalo is doing better, it's because of seeds that were planted well before Andrew Cuomo ever took office.
Like what?
And economic development policies by the local IDA. In particular, there's a lot of IDAs here. Some of them have had some success. But again, it's modest success. We are not doing well when you compare us against most of the nation. And that, I keep coming on your show and saying it, and in part because you've got people like Howard Zemsky walking around with this, alternative, view of the world that really is not based on the facts.
Why is it important that you're doing this investigation into this economic development, into these economic development programs?
Why? Because I think to quote Bill Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. In Buffalo, the economy has been the story forever. And as an investigative reporting center, our job is to kind of ask the tough questions and do the kind of stories that other news outlets, frankly, are not doing. I mean, we've been bird-dogging the Buffalo Billion since it was announced, and we've been much more aggressive than the other outlets in town in terms of going beyond the press conferences and the empty promises and doing a reality check on what's actually happening on the ground. I mean, we broke open the corruption angle of it. We've been we've been on top of this the whole time, and that's what we do.
The end of the year is a big deal for nonprofits like Investigative Post, and you have a couple of ways that my listeners, if they appreciate the work that you've been doing, can help invest in investigative reporting. For example, you have something called Double Your Donation.
Yeah, our end of the year drive. We're one of a number of nonprofit news organizations, and a lot of people don't necessarily realize we're nonprofit, but we are. The Knight Foundation, MacArthur Foundation, and the Democracy Fund got together and put together a pot of money that nonprofit news organizations can use to match donations. So anybody who gives us money between now and December 31st, their first $1,000 will be matched through this program called NewsMatch.
Sweet.
So we just launched the program this week. The bottom line is, give us up to $1,000 and your money will be doubled. And that was successful last year, and we're hoping that people will give again this year.
There's also an event we only have about 30 seconds, Jim, but on December 4th, there's an event with several reporters, including Politico's Jimmy Vielkind, provocatively entitled The Press Under Trump and Cuomo. And mm-hmm. Where is this?
This is going to be at Big Ditch Brewery here in downtown Buffalo. It's an evening kind of happy hour. I'll moderate a speaker panel on how the politicians from the federal, state, and local level have made it increasingly difficult for the press to do their job. It's Jimmy, it's Steve Brown from WGRZ here in Buffalo, and Jerry Zarinsky from the Buffalo News.
That sounds like a great night. And again, for more information on this or how to double your donation, just go to investigativepost.org. We've been speaking with Jim Heaney, who is the founder, editor, and executive director of the Investigative Post. Thank you again, Jim. We appreciate it.
Take care, Susan.
Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.